Hello, welcome to Sprovcast, the English language Sprovcabano podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
I could really use a haircut. That's what I've been thinking the last couple of days.
You know? Reckon? Yeah, me too, actually. Just slightly tangly at this point.
Start to do that poofy thing it does with mine.
Mine always does that poofy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Straggly. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, but let's look in the mirror. It takes, you know, you walk outside and get the wind, so ages to put. Just ruins your day, doesn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to this broadcast. How are you doing?
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Not,
fine.
Not bad. I mean, I was glad the football was back in town.
Mm.
Sorry, made it sound like the circus there for a minute. But yeah, it's glad the football was back.
Yeah, worst Thin Lizzy cover I've ever heard. But yes, I'm also back in town. Less thankful for that, of course. But
you were in the Pacific Rim, but the Pacific Northwest.
Yes, the PNW, and I saw some football there, so that was nice.
Good. Do we have space to talk about that?
We can a little bit if we've got time later. It was Portland Thorns versus San Diego Wave. If we don't have time to talk about it, that's what it was. I do have a couple of interesting facts about that stadium, though, because I'm a big fan of the stadium.
Okay.
So, it's the oldest soccer-dedicated ground in the whole country.
Do they call it soccer-dedicated ground?
Like well, that. it's the only one that was built specifically to be a soccer stadium rather than a multi-use.
This is Providence Park.
Providence Park, yeah. It's from the 1920s or something, I think. And they have 19 feral cats.
Why?
For catching mice.
That makes sense. Yeah,
yeah, there you
would
go.
Would they be feral then?
Well, I mean, nobody necessarily looks after them. They just live in and around the stadium.
No one leaves out like whiskers for them or anything.
I don't think so. They seem to be quite happy, I think. So, anyway, there we go. That's Providence Park update. We've got 9 sections to get through. So rather than yammering on about cats and such, we should probably crack on with it. We're going to start with 2 games from East Bohemia. Right, we played 2 teams from East Bohemia, neither of which play at their own grounds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Neither being in East Bohemia either, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Mladá Boleslav, I think, is in East Bohemia.
Oh, do we count that as East Bohemia? I would count that as Central.
You're probably right, actually.
Chesky Cry?
Yeah, you're probably just about right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Someone will absolutely tweet in or Facebook us if we've made a huge error there.
I think I've already made a huge error because I had to do a little bit of research on this for the section later on, and I don't think they mentioned Boleslav in there. So, yeah, I think you're spot on. That probably is Středočeský kraj. Anyway, we played Hradec Králové in Mladá Boleslav, and what happened there, Sam?
Well, we lost 2-1, David.
We did.
Interesting game. Was it an interesting game?
It was a scrappy game.
Because I just, my recollection of the game, and me and yourself, we were not at Boleslav, mostly actually because we haven't done that ground before, the Lokotrans Arena, or whatever it's called.
It is called that, yeah.
And I think the consensus was that we would quite like to see their own team play there against us,
yeah,
rather than sort of spoil it by going to see Hradec Králové. And so what we had done instead is we went to go see Blansko.
We did.
Play out, I think it was like a 7 or 8 goal thriller.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Definitely value for money for the 60 crowns bracket woman getting free at that particular stadium. So we were watching it in the pub at the clubhouse afterwards. And from what I really recall of it, vast spells of the game, I wouldn't maybe put down as being scrappy, but more about being like utterly dominated by a half-decent Hradec team. But I may be misremembering.
I mean, they were fourth going into this. They're still fourth now, I believe. We take the lead, I would say, against the run of play. Reznicek scores. It's quite a neat finish. And they equalise with a penalty in the 40th.
Thoughts on the penalty?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's for Solček, right? Swinging a leg and missing everybody.
I don't think it's that.
What do you think it is?
I think it's his other leg, where it, right. he sort of does that thing where you scrape down on the heel
right.
of the Raditz player. Because I remember at the time, and I, you know, watching it back, and my first reaction for both of those times was, that's a free kick. So my issue was
outside the area. Yeah,
issue was never that it was a free kick. Well, it never was. It wasn't a foul. It was that I thought it was outside the area.
Right.
On reflection, I think it's probably slightly harsh, but likely the letter of the law. It is a penalty.
Mm.
I think what's more gutting about it isn't actually the penalty itself, but the fact it almost gets saved.
Yeah, Berkovets is so close to it. Diving down to his left, and
you get the hand sound, the sort of thud of the leather on leather.
If you watch it back, he's not even like ground slappingly angry with himself. He's just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
He's clearly like, that was so close. you know, there wasn't even, you know, kind of demonstrative anger. It was just, shit. Yeah. Oh, well.
And even at that point, and I could, is that about around about the 40th minute?
It is bang on the 40th minute, okay. Yeah.
Even recall at that point, I was just thinking, draw will be fine.
I'll take a draw. Because
then it just really felt like things just ramped and ramped and ramped.
Yeah, they did ramp and ramp and ramp up until the 88th minute when classic bit of Zbrojovka losage. Long free kick from 40 yards away. Is one in the air, beats Shural in the air, and the flick on is just smacked into the net at close range.
By former Hrudin player David Vatchulin. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
again, just looks really good playing for Raditz Kralova. Yeah. They look like a really good side this year, and that's, I don't think that can be understated. Just based on how I think demoralizing it can be not playing in your own stadium, not necessarily for the players, but for the fans who sort of trudge over there every other week. So,
and this is their second year in the top flight, their second year not playing at their home ground, isn't it? Sportovny.
I was just going to call it Podlizatki, but which will still have the Lizatki, which is good. But
Podlizatki is still being rebuilt, so
it's taken a long time. It's getting to city renovation of Brno levels of. I hear that there's maybe something on the horizon regarding Pardubice's stadium.
Pardubice should be back at Podvinitsny after the winter break, apparently, but.
There's nothing really in sight for Raditz. And if you, I think it's an inevitability. I mean, definitely not to the levels of of Pardubice, that when you play in a different stadium, attendances tend to drop, and they tend to drop quite dramatically. And that's where the sort of the negativity comes in, the silence is, I guess, starts being a bit reminiscent of playing during COVID seasons. But if you're actually winning, and it is by all means quite a good time to be a Raditz Kralove supporter despite this logistical issue, then it does add a bit more atmosphere, a little bit more sort of oomph to it. I mean, one thing that the Looker Trans Arena didn't really need was yet more poor attendances generally, though.
The week after that, we have another away game, and another away game at a stadium that is not theirs. As previously mentioned, part of it's not at Podvinitsy right now, but they are at the Dolicek in Prague. And part of it's propping up the league, only 6 points coming into this.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're not going without a fight. After this, they actually beat Raditz Kralove in the East Bohemian Derby. Did they?
Did they not beat Jablonec? I think they beat Jablonec.
They definitely played Raditz. Oh, maybe that was this weekend, actually, just gone. So,
didn't Raditz win 2-0?
I forget. Anyway.
You speak and I'll just double check.
Yeah, because I may be misremembering that. Basically, early on, Pardubice give us a couple of steps.
It looked quite good.
Scares. Yeah, they hit the woodwork early doors, a couple of sort of flashes across goal. But we take the lead. A ball through from Shevchik finds Reznicek to steer the ball calmly into the far corner of the first time finish. It's a very nice finish, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Goalkeeper's in a bit of no man's land, but don't take that away from the little butcher doing very good work with his finish there.
No, you are absolutely, just to go back, you are absolutely right, David. We were both sort of right. I thought you were meaning Jablonec, and yes, they did beat Jablonec, but then they beat Raditz Kralove.
Yeah, so yeah, it seems that this loss to us gave them a bit of a kick up the arse, because them bottom with 6 points beating then fourth place Raditz, incredible work. We go into halftime 1-0 up. And then early second half, Shevchik dances through the defence, waits and waits and waits and waits and waits and lays it wide to Solček, who then sort of pings it back to the edge of the box. And Solček is waiting for his second first touch finish of the game, fires it into the far corner.
Beautiful finish.
It really is, isn't it?
I love those sorts of ones where you just see it sort of swerve into the corner like that.
I Lovely. Think Reznicek only touched the ball 3 times this game and every single one was a goal. It was an absolute poacher's performance. Ali should have had one a few minutes later. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's a bad miss.
It's
actually
flashed across the goal, and from 5 yards out, he spoons it over. Yeah, that's a
poor one.
Yeah, it is. He makes up for it a few minutes later. It's his pullback on 74 minutes that finds the little butcher 6 yards from goal, bundles his hat trick home, and then Martin Berkovic loses his clean sheet bonus on 80 minutes. A slightly deflected shot finding its way in, but it's done and dusted by then. So.
Yeah,
good game though. I think we played well. We did well. Like, I think we survived the early scares.
Yeah, this is true, because it was that point that you were. I mean, we made the point that, like, part of it's a don't look great. this needs to be 3 points, because we were really on a slide the last few games, and actually, like, it's very demoralizing, I think, the way that you lose to a team like Hradec. So to come into that and basically bounce back is really strong. And we did take an okay crowd, I think, through to Prague for it, but...
Yeah, that's sort of, I think, 80, 90, I think it looked decent enough.
But, I mean, that actually is a significant proportion of that current part of it's a crowd.
Yeah.
I don't think they got over 600.
Mm.
At least they're getting really bad, sort of, you know, bad for second division standards at this point of spectators. But maybe this run of form that they're in has, you know, improved things somewhat. Actually, maybe it was the right time to play them. And maybe they go on this inspired run now, and at least we don't have them, I think, at least until March. So, not bad there.
Yeah, decent enough. There is one element of that team that I'm going to flag up later that I think is part of the reason for this turnaround. But first of all, we're going to find out what the deal is with East Bohemia, if that's all right with you.
Okay.
So, Eastern Bohemia, your fan?
Oh. Gingerbread and small airports.
It's very good, basically sums it up. Apart from, it's one of the most geographically varied regions of the country.
Who gives a shit, you know?
Well, me, slightly.
Yeah, all right.
You know, I mean...
Are we talking about the big three?
The big three?
Pardubice, Hradec and Chrudim.
I do have all those written down here, actually.
The East Bohemian soccer triangle.
From the plains of the south around Pardubice, Hradec and Chrudim to the Krkonosha National Park up in the north, and where the Adaspach rocks are, which I didn't know that's where they were. It is also home to the highest mountain in the country.
Snezhka,
which I have climbed.
Did you bring your oxygen for it?
No, but it was in about 3 foot of snow and I was wearing Converse and jeans. I thought I did quite well.
That's your own fault though, right?
Well, yeah. I didn't have any other shoes, so...
Again!
yeah, true. There's, as you say, Pardubice, centre of gingerbread and horse racing.
Yep.
And... Go on.
I don't know. I just find the gingerbread and horse racing, what a mix.
Yeah, and Hradec Králové, the Salon of the Republic, if you remember, apparently. which of the two do you prefer?
Hradec Králové.
It is the correct answer, yeah.
Oh, the Cracklin, David.
Obviously the Cracklin.
Yeah, we had a very nice lunch there once, listener, that I think I've talked about.
Yeah, go back to about season two or three and you'll probably get it.
The thing that spoils Hradec somewhat is that they've got a nice square that they seem to have just car parked.
Yeah, that is a shame. I think it used to be cobbles, now it's tarmac, and it's just a big car park. It's a bit rubbish.
I mean, the one thing I will say in the defence of Pardubice is it's got a dinky airport, which is quite interesting. Well, it's not interesting, it's just gets you back places. Right. And they've got a very good brewery.
They do have a good brewery, yeah.
Porter, which is very nice, and 9%.
Yeah. It's also home to the small town of Yichin.
Yes.
Which is supposedly the home of Pop Quiz.
Oh, yeah.
Rumtais.
Uh-huh.
I'm not surprised you don't.
What's that?
Well, what's that?
I'm just going to hedge my bets here as well. Who's that?
Good, yeah. Correct.
Oh, wait. I was just going to say something nonsense there.
No, go on.
No, I was going to say something absolutely ridiculous.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say... Is it home to that Radagast lad? Even though that Radagast lad's name is Radagast. No. It's been a really long week already, listener, and it's only Tuesday.
No, Rumtais is a sort of Robin Hood-esque character from Czech folklore, and he was a very popular Večerní Czech cartoon from the 60s to the 80s. He's like the only reason people know Yichin, because apparently he was from there.
Rumtais.
Yeah, he was...
It sounds like something that a 19th century doctor would say you had, which loosely translates as being your bones are haunted.
He was not a haunted bone man. Weirdly, I'm not sure why.
Doesn't he sing R&B stuff?
Not sure why I had to clarify that. He was a cobbler. Cobblers. And he was banished from Yichin for insulting the mayor's feet. The mayor was very proud of having big feet. Rumtais said, "I've seen bigger," and the mayor kicked him out. So he went to...
with his massive feet.
Using massive boots.
Insulting the mayor's boots is a bootable offence.
Yeah. He went to live in a cave in the woods with a tall red hat, a beard with bees in it, and a pistol that fires acorns. So, what are you going to have a beard with bees in? And when you point the beard, it shoots bees at people. So yeah, there you go. This is Eastern Bohemia in all its finery.
A gun that shoots acorns. What a bunch of fucking hicks. You know, like,
it's a kids cartoon. Come on, you're not going to.
I mean,
absolutely taking people out, are you?
Wait a minute. Have I just got things confused? Were you just talking only about the cartoon there?
It basically only exists for the cartoon.
Oh, I see, because I thought this was an actual story that passed down for years and years, that he had a gun that shoots acorns.
Not as far as I know. Maybe it is, but like people generally only know him from the cartoon. So.
I like to think I'm well-versed in Czech culture at this point, and then every time I'm on this podcast, I just make a complete arse of it.
One of the few reasons that I know this is because Yichin is only down the road from Nova Paka, where my ex-girlfriend used to live, and we went there because her grandmother lives there, I think. I see. And the whole town is based around Rumtais mythology. They're incredibly proud of a 60s cartoon, basically. There's a whole, like, weeks-long festival about him, and it's certainly a thing. It's certainly a thing that exists. Anyway, that's the deal with Eastern Bohemia. I was going to play you some music, but I found a treat instead.
Okay.
Because of Rumtais, the Robin Hood of Eastern Bohemia, I have discovered Leona Machalkova and Vladimir Hron's Czech language cover of Everything I Do It For You from the Brian Adams Robin Hood film of the early 90s. So that's going to be our playout music.
Oh,
In a foreshadowing return of what we did for the first two series.
I was going to say, did we not have that one?
We did not, no.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I only discovered it today. So that is a reason to stick around. Another reason to stick around is Hot or Not. That's up next. It's a theme tuneless Hot or Not.
Oh.
Yeah, because we're playing out with the Brian Adams
cover. Oh, of course.
So, yeah.
Oh, I was looking... Well, was I looking forward?
No, no, you weren't. I mean, I can put you on the spot and you can make one up if you want.
No.
Okay. Right, Hot or Not it is. One each.
One each.
Yeah. You go.
All right. I'm my hot this time, David, is Dean Windass.
Right. I think I know where this is going, but carry on.
Specifically, just this Dean Windass treat. Yeah. Treat? Well, it's a treat.
It is a treat.
But this tweet, and I quote, seriously, if I played now and my midfielder was Thiago, sorry if I spelt it wrong, this man is wow. I would pay money football intelligence, which I had because I run wow.
Yeah.
I have...
yeah, statesman-like.
I've read this 50 times, and I don't... I still don't get it. I mean, I believe this is to do with Thiago Silva.
Yeah, I mean, he stopped two goals on the line against Brighton, and I'm thinking about the same person, right? The Chelsea...
I think it's him.
Yeah.
I think this is what's happened.
Yeah, just basically Dean Windass being impressed with his positional sense, I think.
Yes, and showing as well about some of his own football intelligence. He's interesting. He's starting to get trolled by his own son on Twitter as well a little bit. Josh Windass.
Right.
Sheffield Wednesday player. Uh-huh. Because what Dean Windass seems to do all the time just on his Twitter is punt CBD products.
Right, okay.
That's all he does. It's he just punts all the CBD stuff, and then Josh Windass just always comes in and is like, yeah, calm down, Dr. Usman. It's like, it's just, yeah, Dean Windass, like, one of the first players that I truly loved as a kid.
Yeah, he was at the Dons, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yes, it's Aberdeen, and he's wearing yellow boots.
I always associate him with Hull.
I mean, he's...
And Hull and...
That goal as well.
And Bradford City as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, very much of a player of those sorts of parts of the world, it seems. So, yeah, Dean Windass is specifically that tweet.
Oh, okay. I've got a knot...
Go on.
And it is Wrexham striker Paul Mullin not being allowed to wear his personalised boots.
Yes, this is just rubbish.
Yeah. What did his boots say?
It was either something... was it specifically fuck the Tories?
It was fuck the Tories, okay. Yeah. Wrexham released a statement saying...
Oh, that's awful.
The club has adopted a neutral position on many matters with a political dimension and intends to continue to do so going forward. But will not allow him to wear his boots, which is odd, except not because Wrexham's MP is a Tory.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, not for me.
You pay to get your boots personalised, surely you can, you know, have what you want on them. Surely,
yeah.
But, you know.
Though I think that it's... Though honestly, like, didn't Kieran Tierney get, like, you know, like the boys or the hoops or something like that on his boots when he moved down to Arsenal, which I thought was the biggest sort of like piecemeal small town thing I've ever heard. Celtic fan, I mean, apologies if you're listening and a Celtic fan, but like Celtic fans lap that shit up, you know, they just, that's, you know, and it's just, I just look at it and just go, that's just so wee guy, you know.
Are you just bitter because, you know, during his Bradford days, Windass couldn't get his personalised boots saying up the Dons or whatever?
I mean, to be honest, considering that he played a lot later on for them, I believe I don't really care.
Fair enough. I've got another quick knot, and it's me losing my hat.
Which hat?
My sort of like...
is it the one that makes you look like a pimp?
No. No, I haven't worn that for ages.
That makes you look like a Rumsize.
I haven't got a red hat. My kind of what I like to think is my vaguely Masaryk-esque black flat cap.
Oh yeah, how have you lost it? In the airport or something?
No idea. Was out in Portland, came back, hat wasn't there. So yeah, must have lost it en route somewhere or left it in a pub or something. Revisited the pub I was in, they hadn't seen it. Yeah, I'm just slightly annoyed about that.
What are your hat plans? The listeners want to know.
Get a new hat.
The same sort of one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically. That's a hat update.
Yeah.
That's good. Have you got another hot or not?
Yeah, it's the introduction of VAR in Scotland.
Right.
This is very much a nod. So this has started, and what did it do the first time it was rolled out? Wow, delayed a game for about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is it starting. And just generally, it's just going to lead to awful, awful experiences, except when they allowed that Bojan Miovski goal to stand for the Dons. So, you know,
right.
you know, the exception that proves the rule, maybe. But one of the things that I think that maybe isn't pointed out so much about these this sort of introduction, and especially that the supporter experience, is that not every, you know, stadium, like I'm thinking of Pittodrie specifically, we don't have a screen. Like, we don't have a screen at the stadium that, you know, sort of keeps the time and this sort of stuff. So, like, it just becomes one of these ones where it just stops and nobody seems to know what's going on.
It's the same at Zvorovka, though. We have a screen, but there's no graphics for this. It just stops and waits.
Yeah, this is also true. And I think what's been compounded as well is, from what I've been told from a lot of the matches, when it's done on TV, the guys on Sports Scene, who are supposed to be good, proper Scottish, you know, football commentators and football journalists, can't explain what the check is for because they don't seem to know what the check is for. And that, to me, seems very strange, because at least what's happening in the Premier League is you'll get a thing that goes up that says, you know, sort of check potential foul.
Yeah.
And then they'll show all this sort of stuff. It just stops and they just don't seem to know what's going on. So it's going to be terrible. And again, this has been brought in mostly because Old Firm fans of each colour are obsessed with the idea that they've been cheated.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, already the first weekend of it properly being rolled out, it was already starting. You had Chris Sutton on Twitter, you know, we had Celtic had to beat two teams today, VAR and Christ. Hearts. Fuck off. Like, it's just, I'm swearing a lot on this podcast, I'm aware. So sorry if you're a child. Yeah, it's just rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. No, I agree.
Also, sorry if you're a child's parents.
Yeah. Hi, Mike. I've got a hot...
Go on.
Pack Bean. Have you heard of Pack Bean?
Pack Bean.
This is...
It sounds like a very bad 70s arcade spin-off.
This is not a football thing. It's the most bizarre sporting feud I've ever heard.
Is this got something to do with Manny Pacquiao?
No.
Oh, well, I'm done.
Before Zimbabwe's 2020 World Cup game against Pakistan, a tweet was sent saying... As Zimbabweans, we won't forgive you. You once gave us that fraud Pack Bean instead of Mr. Bean Rowan.
Oh, yes!
We will settle the matter tomorrow. Just pray the rains will save you.
I've seen this, yes.
Have you seen Pack Bean, the man?
This is the look Mr. The, Bean look imitation.
Look
yeah.
at him. Yes.
He looks more like that lad from Despicable Me.
Do you know
the one that's not yellow?
Yeah. Do you know why that one tweet guy was angry?
Is it because it was something like, was it not some sort of function and they had booked Mr. Bean and they've booked a very bad...
It was turns out this guy was angry because Pakistan had sent a Mr. Bean impersonator who's really big in Pakistan and is known as Pack Bean. They had sent him to perform at an agricultural show in 2016. And he was still furious about it.
6 years of heart.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. I just thought that was, excellent.
That is very good, actually, Pack Bean.
Yeah, I loved it. please do Google Pack Bean. He's spectacular. Yeah. There we go. That was hot or not.
Cricket, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. It's... Yeah, anyway. That was just... Cricket, man. Could be worse. Could be rugby. Rugby, the only sport where I see all these like teams going out of business, and I'm just like, ha, that's a laugh. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah,
posh boy tears.
Yeah. Anyway, cricket. Don't know anything about it. Absolutely stumped.
Hey,
Liberets.
Yeah, go on. Slovan Liberec.
Yes.
We played them. You better believe we played them.
Yeah.
What an interesting day.
Right. The whole day?
It was just a good day.
Yeah, it was a good day.
I don't know where I'm going with this, to be honest.
nor did Slovan when they had the ball.
Well, this is it. So we should... we should talk about what is... Should we talk about the football first?
We should, yeah.
I suppose we should, yeah. So this was a match that I was quite worried about, in the sense that we'd not really been on a great run of form. Historically speaking, our form against Slovan Liberec is, I'm going to say, at best patchy, at away from home impossible, but, you know, at home, you know, obviously not great. And the we came in with one big advantage, which was that John Mosquera no longer plays for Slovan. Yes. I think that was the first thing. But you did get to see a couple of, you know, well, I was going to say big players, but I don't think you can really count Mick van Buuren as a big player.
I don't know. He's high up in the scoring charts.
He is. He's got moment. Five, yeah. I think, for this season so far.
Yeah, which is fairly high by Czech league standards.
But yeah. I was very looking forward. Can't speak English.
You wanted to see Theo, didn't you?
I wanted to see Theo Gebrselassie, who now plays for Slovan Liberec, and God, he's worse than I remember him.
Return of the prodigal, very old man.
Yes, and he at times looked like a very old man as well. Very entertaining first half.
It certainly was. We hit the bar twice in the first half.
We did.
That was good.
Hit the bar in the first 5 minutes, I think.
Yeah, they looked more dangerous. Their couple of little chances, well, one very big chance in the first half and one fairly decent chance. That was the best they got, actually. We were slightly open in the first half and made up for it in the second. Good Lord, did we ever. But yeah, I don't think we were ever not in control, really.
My thoughts, and I think I said this at the time, I think about half an hour in, was that I could see the game ending precisely 4-4 or 0-0, because it seemed to be one of these ones where it was actually like a very entertaining, especially for the neutral, goalless first half, because it was really end-to-end stuff. It was proper attacking football in large spells, and actually what we were finding, and again, this will be found to greater effect in the second half, is that we were looking really, really good down the channels, and we've not always been looking quite good in the last few weeks there. So that was really something to focus on. I just always find it hilarious seeing Kuba Hreznicek trying to bust a gut getting to a ball that he's never going to win as well. I love that sort of hustle about
it. Yeah, this is actually something I was going to bring up later. One of the things we haven't seen that much is Hreznicek running the channels, because he his job is to be, you know, elbows in the middle.
Yes.
And he absolutely was. Like, he was doing really well running the channels there. We'll run through the goals very quickly. They all came in the second half. Early doors, second half, a goal from Shural, a goalmouth scramble that was initially on flash score given to Texel, but was actually Shural bundling it in. But it was just a mass of bodies. You couldn't really see it.
Yeah. I fell for that one as well.
From where we were.
It was very similar to a bunch of goals that we've conceded, I thought, this season.
Yeah.
Where you had, I can't remember exactly who it was, but what team it was. It was, I want to say, about a month and a half ago, where we just tried and failed to clear ball from the box for about 90 seconds, and then it just got bundled in, and we were all furious. But I've seen that goal so many times from a Zbrojovka perspective as well. It was nice to get one back, to be honest with you.
Yes,
but it was people flailing, you know, around. It was really quite something. They were really desperate.
Yeah, the second goal is where Vlegen, the Liberec goalkeeper, does not cover himself in glory. He rolls the ball out to an unsuspecting defender who is absolutely mugged by Solček. I think that actually is a foul.
I actually had that written down going, is it a foul? That was the thing, because I watched it down a couple of times. But then they VAR'd it, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they VAR'd it. Apparently not. Yeah, this is... Yeah, doesn't work. Like... You might as well just not use it. Like,
because part of me was, I didn't know if the player had basically just made a complete mess of it by, like, just pretty much falling over his feet. I just wasn't sure.
No, I think Solček absolutely does him, but
just coming back from suspension as well.
Yeah, Solček wins it. Shevchik gets it and just basically rolls the ball into the net. Vlegan's scrambling to get back on his feet and is just rolled into the back of the net from just outside the area, which is quite pleasing. Goal sort of out of nowhere, but, you know, they all count. And finally, Hreznicek, sent through by a beautifully, beautifully weighted ball over the top by Shevchik. Mm-hmm. And Hreznicek's only touch is he lets the ball drop over his shoulder and dinks it over the goalkeeper. Uh-huh. It's a really nice finish.
It's lovely. It's classy.
A really cute finish. Yeah. Honourable mentions, actually.
Go on.
Well, not an honourable mention, a genuine, very impressed mention to the Little Butcher, who, as I say, worked his arse off. And 5 goals in these 3 games on a total amount of about 7 touches.
Yeah.
Like when he was last in the top league with Teplice, he was getting slated because he only scored 2 goals all season, but he was 40 yards from the rest of the team. And this season, his finishing has been so good.
Yeah.
Not only has his hold-up play been good, when he's been sent through more often than not, like I said, he's scored his last... Well, these 5 goals have basically all been one-touch finishes.
Yeah.
Just, he looks so high on confidence right now.
Yeah.
Just lovely. Absolutely lovely stuff.
Is that 10 for him now?
It is 10. Yeah, I think he's top scorer in the league.
Yeah, rightly so.
Honourable mention for Soucek, who we sorely miss when he's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's been such an important signing. When he came in, it was just like, wow, another midfielder. He's been invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
And for Jan Hlavica, who has been in for Endel since the Hradec defeat.
And looks...
Has done very well indeed.
Better than
Endel. Better than Endel. Actually, their one big chance that Liberec had when they were sent clear, who was it absolutely getting his... 6'3" of shoulders back to make that final saving tackle. Jan Hlavica. Lovely stuff.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you see the Fortuna Liga team of the week?
There's 5 of us in there.
There's 5 and I disagree with the 5. Like, it's like, because the 5 is Berkovic, Hrabina, Soucek, Shevchik and Resnicek.
Why Berkovic is in there, I have no
idea. I don't think he didn't do anything.
He
made a couple of stops in the first half and that was about it.
Yep.
I mean, as far as I recall, Slovan Liberec did not have a shot on goal entirety of the second half. I thought it would be slightly cruel to not have in Musa Ali if you were going to have in Berkovic, because at least Musa Ali ragged it for a good 60 minutes down the flank, almost scored. You know, he was doing all the right things and popping up in the right places. I think that this has possibly now settled the argument that we've been having over the last couple of months about whether or not Ali is actually a starter.
He's brought in
as an impact. Yeah, he is definitely
a starter. Like, he's nailed on now, isn't he?
So this is it. And it's just so nice again, actually, to have, like, again, well, very much like Shevchik, actually, an exciting player to watch, a one that you just want him to have the ball at his feet. Mm. I think that's really cool. And that's going to be really important when the other showman is very likely going to Sparta Prague in January already. So that's something to note.
Yeah, savour the Shevchik-Resnicek dynamic while you have it, because they are psychic already. Like, their connection between Shevchik putting through balls and Resnicek finishing them off is just beautiful to watch.
One leads a team in goals, one leads a team in assists.
Yeah.
Simple as that, really.
Yeah, incredible.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we move on, we should actually just say a couple of shout-outs, because we were not alone on the
We certainly weren't, no.
We had a very good turnout of supporters I was going to say not generally. It was about 4,500, I think, at the game, which is lower than what we've been getting used to at the stadium. So it's... I mean, there's reasons for that as well. A Sunday kickoff. It was also not the best in terms of weather. Not terrible, but still a bit overcast. Misty and
plus
rubbish.
End of a bank holiday weekend, and people won't have been back in town yet from their chatty.
Yeah, that's another good point. So, I mean, I'd just like to say, well, thanks to the usual rabble which came, which also included Alex from Bratislava.
Yep.
Always good to see Alex at the games, and it's good that even though he's moved to another city, he can't stay away from the irresistible force of South Moravian football. So very good to see him, and also to meet his wife earlier on. So that later on even. So that was really good. I enjoyed that. We also had Andrew from my work with his mate Dan, who came over as well, who's a West Brom fan and came in the full regalia.
He did, that was good
as well. And then also we met George there as well,
Hello, George.
Who was a really good laugh and had come over just for a free weekend just to watch some MMA and then to get some football. So seems pretty good way to spend a weekend.
Exactly, yes.
A shame he didn't have the weather for it too much.
Oh, well.
But nice to see you all and hope to see you back here again.
Yeah. Would you like to do
Yes, I would.
Of the podcast?
Sure.
Okay.
Beer. No, let's do
that again. Cider.
Oh, cider
of the podcast. Yes, haha! I tricked you, haha!
I was ruining that bit perfectly enough as it was.
Yeah, it worked quite well.
Because you brought those out, and I thought, oh, that's pale.
Yeah. It's, well, yes, it's apple juice. Well, yeah. If it's tangy and brown, you're in cider town.
Yeah.
I would like to dedicate this particular spot to Spencer, who is the barman at Portland Airport and one of the most enthusiastic and nicest barmen I've ever met. Incredibly nice bloke, really knew his football. I put him onto this podcast. If you're listening, Spencer, and I hope you are, thank you very much. You were a very nice conversation. On a flight I was not looking forward to. So, there we go. Anyway, this... I'll give you one of these. This is... Because I was only just around the corner after looking for it, having forgotten that it was my turn this week. Effie, around the corner from me, has branched out into cider.
Hannah had this the other week. I did not taste her cider, though.
Well, now you're about to. Because this is what they've got. I'll just get the old doodah
here. Smells good.
Yeah,
that's like an actual cider, not this awful.
Yeah,
stuff that
it's a
for
it's
cider,
a
yeah.
It's a fizzy, like a, you know, a proper mushed, but with but like fizzed up a little bit. So yeah, it's just apple mushed, water and fizz, basically. So yeah, there we go. I haven't tried it yet either. It does smell nice. It smells proper. It's got that slightly what do you call it? Slightly odd, kind of like tangy smell to it. So.
I say slightly, almost. I was to say mouldy's not the right way, but it very much smells exactly like some of the best cider that I've had here, which is the which they still do it, the Siderca.
Yes,
You can order basically small batched cider directly from apples made about half a mile at a time.
Anyway, one more time. Here we go. He's tasty.
It's like a Breton cider. Mm. Not sweet at all.
Yeah, it's nice that.
It's like dry.
Semi. Yeah. It's. Because I don't like super dry ciders. Not like the clothing
ciders going around in a puffer jacket. Yeah.
But that's lovely. That's really good.
That's really good.
Mm.
How much are they flogging that bottle for? Like a litre.
How big is that? That's a
75. It's a 75.
Yeah, 750. It was about 100 crowns, 90 crowns, maybe something like that. Really good.
Yeah, not bad. What's the percent on? Did you
4.5.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so not mega strong, but mega nice.
That's very
really
good.
Yeah,
so fantastic. It's good to branch out to these things once in a while when it actually works. Okay.
Mm, yeah.
Not like that time we brought in the Desperados.
No. Right. We're going to have a quick word from our sponsor and then something else.
Já bych chtěl ještě.
Ale samozřejmě. Vždyť jsem upekla dva plechy.
Moučníky z jablek. To je věc.
Moučníky z jablek.
And it's back on the road again with the irresistible force.
Yes. On the road again. Sorry.
So yes, the all the way. On the way.
All the way through a very very narrow line of trees.
Yeah, edit that bit. So is Brajovka, South Moravia's premium irresistible soccer machine, will be taking the trip to South Bohemia next weekend to visit the truly excellent Stadion Strzelecki Ostrov in what should be
The Budvar Arena.
Not having it. In the intriguing encounter. Yeah, I know. It's got a long way from also being the other Vedos Arena,
Other Vedos Arena, other home of the Vedos Derby.
Vedos Derby.
Yep, still doing that.
Still
joke.
Milking that section. Yeah, fantastic. Because basically, I mean, it's just for our benefit, really, at this point, isn't it? 97 episodes. you'll be making the trip to Česká Budějovice.
Yeah, we've got six of us going in total. That'll be me, Ben, Fraser, Steve, Liam, and we're meeting Alex there.
And you've got accommodation because it's not the nicest train journey in the world. It is a big time commitment.
Yeah, it's about 4 and a bit hours. The game's at 3, so we're gonna, go see the game, and then it's dinner and pub, and then we'll stay over, come back sort of like mid morning.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah, I just cannot be bothered.
That's fair. You've been before.
I've been before twice, so yeah. This is I need the weekend to get a haircut first of all. And then some other things, but yeah.
Do you think it's going to take? Yeah, it might take that long, actually.
Very good. Yes. All right. I walked into that one, didn't I? So
that'd be because you can't see anything. Hair in front of your eyes, isn't it?
Yep.
Carry on.
Yeah. So I have got a preview. Actually, I did write a preview. Did spend some time on it. So it should be an intriguing encounter. We visit on the back of a 2-game winning streak, whereas the hosts are on a 2-game losing streak.
And I've just given their manager the boot.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, Josef Weber is out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's not good for us, basically, because usually you get that manager bounce.
Caretaker manager bounce.
Well, you know. Right now in terms of where we're at is because we're fifth in the table now, aren't we? We're on 20 points, if I recall. And they're on 14th. Which actually, to be honest, says a lot about how tight and unpredictable the league has been this year, because there's only a 5-point gap, I think, between both of the sides, and the 14th in the 16-man league is, one of the spots that would have a relegation playoff at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't have been, but you could have seen if that had been 2 games more and we'd have been in 14th, maybe they would have given Dostalik the boot. Which, they wouldn't have because
it's Dostalik.
Yeah.
And these
but, yeah, exactly. As you say, this is how tight it is. It's 5 points, but it's almost the entire league between us. So.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite unpredictable. I think it reflects a little bit on Budějovice's results, because they did beat a very competent Bohemians earlier on in the season. A less competent Baník. They got thumped by Slavia, but it's now becoming, normal to, except for a handful of teams, to get thumped by Slavia, and it's ourselves included. I think if you're a Budějovice fan, and I think actually if you're a fan of pretty much, I would say, any team in the league besides Zlín, Pardubice, even Zlín, you won't be panicking just yet because of just how wide open the league is. I really think that anyone can beat anyone here. If you look at Budějovice's results just season on season, so last season 10th, season before 13th, but in an 18-man league, and then 7th in their first time coming up, which was again the 16, they are slowly establishing themselves as a reasonably solid mid-table team up in the top flight, and that's probably where they're going to be looking at
as well.
Good cup run once in a while and that sort of thing. The one thing when I was just looking over the stats and just, looking over previous videos and things like that is really that they just don't score enough. I think that's the problem with Budějovice this season. And it's a very simple observation to make.
Well, they keep finding great strikers in the second league and then having them bought off them, which is, you know,
getting a very mid-table. Which is what
they've been doing for the past three seasons. So.
Yes, I mean, 14 goals is still a goal a game. But it's the third lowest in the league. They've had six goalless matches. If you compare that to Zbrojovka, we failed to find the net in two out of 14, I think it is, 13 or 14 games. You know, we also have a talisman, as we've, you know, spoken about previously in Kuba Hrzeszniczek. Budjovica have at this point Lukasz Chmielik, who plays in like this advanced role on the right side, and he's got three, and he's actually on a half season long loan from Karvina with option to buy. Ropey. I think at this point is they're probably going to probably have to basically buy him. So and like you say, you know, getting these second division players and then punting them off, you know, well, not punting them off, getting made offers they could not refuse by larger teams is really the, you know, the specific reason why it hasn't happened. So so Shirley's son has left, so Fortune Passe.
Shranty boy.
Yes, him as well. Andre Michalik returned to Pilsen before they're getting farmed on, you know, off on loan again. And of course, who we saw and was not in particularly impressive form, admittedly, on Sunday, but Mick van Buren, who was getting rich form at this time for this league, but he I think helped himself to six goals or seven goals last season.
Yeah.
And then you have 34-year-old Michal Škoda, who's still there.
Oh, bless him.
I mean, he's got two, it's not terrible, but yeah, it's and what's happened is that things aren't really sort of working out. So you have, you know, this Chmielik who's got three, but then they also got Tomáš Zajíc coming from Banik, hasn't been able to find the net in 451 minutes. They're playing him in halves. I don't know why. I was just having a look at this.
Hasn't played against Shurall yet, though, has he?
Well, true. This is the one problem. And then if you thought that was bad, I mean, the one that's going to be, I think that's going to have a field day if that sort of superstition does run out, is Roman Potocny. Because they got in Roman Potocny, he has got experience of not only playing for Banik, but Pilsen, Zlín, Slovan, Bohemians. I mean, he's a title winner. He hasn't scored in 900 minutes at this point. So he's helping hat-trick.
Get your script writing pencils out, people.
Lump it on. Lump it on. Fortuna.cz. No, but I think really at this point, our record in South Bohemia in the last few years isn't terrible.
We've given them a game every time we've gone.
Yeah, and when we've lost, we've lost in embarrassing fashion. So it's
still giving them a game.
Yeah, I'm still thinking my probably still my least favorite moment as a Brojovka fan was when we were 2-0 up at Budjovica
and then tried to shut them down.
Well, went on. It went 2-2. Then it went a penalty. Then to lead 3-2. We brought off our main striker for a defensive midfielder.
That's right, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So winter, hello, Sedlak.
Winter was indeed coming. Yes, so interesting match it's going to be. I think we'll bring I don't think we'll necessarily bring a healthy crowd. I think we'll bring a fun crowd. I think it'll be fun for everyone there.
Yeah.
And it's a great stadium just to watch some football in.
It is, and it's one of those nice ones where there's absolutely no beef between either set of fans. Everyone's just kind of just... You're just there for the crack, aren't you? You're there for the game, for the Budvar Brewery, for the nice town and the giant pencils.
Will you get to listen to one of your favourite Czech football songs?
Shall we give it a little dash of that now?
I think right now.
So yeah, that'll be fun.
I also forgot about the large pencils, so thanks for bringing that back.
Great big giant pencils, yeah. We've got two very brief previews to do, but before that, would you like a quiz?
Absolutely.
I've got a quiz waiting for you. It's Quizmas time.
David, I'm feeling confident.
Oh, yeah.
Because every time you do a quiz on this, I absolutely knack it. So
I think you might be all right on this.
Positive mental attitude, PMA.
Yeah, but we'll see. Because of Raditz and Pardubice are both not playing in their respective cities,
I'm no longer confident.
Five questions on ground shares.
Oh, no, unless it's Scottish League.
It's not Scottish League.
Great.
Question one, AC Milan and Inter famously share the San Siro, but can you give me the two other ground shares in the top two leagues in Italy?
Yes.
Okay.
So Sampdoria and Bologna. Not Bologna. Sampdoria and the other one.
Sampdoria and?
Who else plays? Can you edit this out just while I just think for a minute?
Yep.
Genoa.
Can you just say Sampdoria and Genoa for the purposes of
edit? Yes, we go. Sampdoria and Genoa.
Very good.
Do both... Are they in Serie A?
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Because I was going to say both Veronas.
Both Veronas. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Yeah. Both Veronas. Well, no, because Chievo ceased to exist last year.
Oh, come on. Right.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that either. Uh-huh. I would have taken that at the... At the Bentegodi.
So there's another.
There is. It's Sampdoria and Genoa, both Veronas and.
Yeah, I mean, again, you can edit this because I just want to get this, to be honest with you. Oh, of course. No. Idiot. Roma and Lazio.
There you go.
Forgot there was a capital city for a minute. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, very good. So, yeah, Roma and Lazio and Samp and Genoa. Question two, New York City FC share their stadium with another team that plays a different sport.
The New York Yankees.
Very good. It's one of the most awkward things I've ever seen.
It's awful.
Is a football pitch in a baseball ground.
Because it doesn't work, because a baseball ground has
to
have
that shape.
Ice cream cone sort of thing. And don't they position it in a very awkward way, which is on any stand?
Yeah, it's on a diagonal. It's really awful. Yeah. They are building a stadium now, apparently, but yeah. When Wembley was rebuilt, England played at grounds around the country. They visited Old Trafford 14 times, Villa Park, Anfield and St James's Park 3 times each, and the City of Manchester Stadium twice. Can you name 2 of the 9 other venues that hosted a single fixture in that period?
Between 2000 and...
And 2000 and... No.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember. I think it was 2001 to 2009, maybe?
Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. So there's 9.
Yes, there are 9 to choose from. You only need to name 2.
Okay. Could you just give me them again, just for the...
Okay, so anyone except Old Trafford, Villa Park, Anfield, St James's and the City of Manchester Stadium.
Because I was going to say... Yeah, I was going to say St James's. Thinking here, what would be a suitable size stadium in a place where people would want to watch it? You know, I'm very tempted to say something really weird, like Portman Road or something like that.
Right.
I'm just going to go for weird ones and see if they work.
All right.
Can I go for the baseball ground?
Well, that'd have been knocked down about 15 years.
Not the baseball ground. Called Pride Park. Even that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go with the... Am I going to go with Leicester City Stadium? Okay, right. All right, I'm going to go with Stadium of Light. It's one of them.
All right.
And I am going to go with... Stamford Bridge?
Those are your two answers. Stadium of Light and Stamford Bridge.
I've got zero confidence in either of them. My mind's just gone blank because it's English.
Oh, so close. Stadium of Light was one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, Stamford Bridge wasn't.
Yeah, I was thought... Part of me was going, they've got enough ones in London, though.
Yeah.
I was thinking of maybe going somewhere like somewhere where there's not always going to be there, like Leicester. Or
you actually named three of them while you were.
Oh,
well,
really?
I may have edited this out, listener, but while Sam was procrastinating, I can give you the other venues.
Portman Road.
Road, yeah.
Oh, no.
And?
Did I say Southampton or something like that? Yeah, and I couldn't remember because they moved into St. Mary's later.
St. Mary's, that was one of them.
Was actually St. Mary's.
Yep.
Wow, yeah.
And another one that you named? Pride Park.
Pride Park.
And another one that you named? Leicester City's ground.
Oh, my God.
You could also have had Upton Park, the Riverside Stadium, White Hart Lane and Elland Road. You've absolutely fucked that.
Elland Road's a really obvious one if you just think about it.
Mm.
But I'm just very conscious that, yeah, okay, we can edit this sort of stuff out, but I still feel almost like I'm on air.
And I know.
You know, it's going,
I know.
Me 20 minutes going,
Anyway.
Oh, dear.
Question four. True or false?
False. So I do that every time.
I know.
Sorry.
True or false? At some point, each of the five main Prague clubs has been a tenant of the Stadion Evgenia Rozického for at least a season.
Oh, that's a really good one.
I know. I like this question.
Okay, my initial reaction is just... My initial reaction is true.
Or maybe false.
Yeah. Okay, I sort of know how your brain works, and this is also how it works on this podcast, is that I say I know how your brain works, give you an explanation, and the explanation is completely untrue, isn't it? Right, this is what happens. I'm going to say false, because I think that the only time that Bohemians have done a ground share is at Slavia at Eden, and so therefore I'm probably really wrong, but I'm just going to say false.
It is false, but for absolutely the wrong reasons.
Yes! That's how we do it here.
The, well, everyone has played at Evgenia Rozického, apart from Žižkov, who only used it for European games on their, like, early 2000s thing, and Sparta for a couple of games while they were having undersoil heating installed at Letna.
Okay.
But Slavia, while they were building Eden, were playing there. And Bohemians, both of them, while they were in their kind of pissy,
real and fake Bohemians,
owns Dolicek thing. So they both had a season there.
But Žižkov only for Euro games, and that's why it breaks the chain.
Well, and
Dukla
and Sparta for for having their undersoil heating.
Yeah.
They never played there permanently.
Yeah.
They played like four games there, or something.
And Dukla didn't need to because he didn't exist. And then just came in. That makes sense.
Finally, in which European league does every team play at the same stadium?
Gibraltar.
Very good. I had a look into Andorra just in case. There are six grounds in Andorra. The largest has 400 seats.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
That might be a lie. It might be 1,500. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Are you mildly impressed that I got that one instantly? No.
not really.
I mean, it's between that or Malta, usually, isn't it?
Yeah.
But Malta's got two islands, so it's got multiple stadiums.
Extra bonus question. Do you know the name of the Gibraltar Cup competition? Not the league, but the cup.
I do not.
The Rock Cup.
Good.
Good name. Would you like to talk about two other teams very quickly?
I suppose I will, yeah.
Okay.
Two more games.
Mm.
So, well, actually, technically three more games, but we're not going to talk about that one for now. The third one, of course, is that there has been the draw for the Czech Cup, and we will be playing a match against
Teplice away,
which is currently scheduled, I believe, to be on the 19th of November, which will be the weekend after the last run of games that we have. And I was kind of surprised that we'd stopped that early, and then I realised that there's a World Cup which none of our players will be involved in to worry about, so that'll be interesting. But until then, If you would like to have more detail about Victoria Pilsen's players, then please go back to this the episode where we actually did a proper preview of Victoria Pilsen. So this one is going to be a bit more of an update. Because on Wednesday 9th, we will be going for our scheduled away game to Victoria Pilsen at the freakishly awful time of 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Which is just rough. Not good. Initial game was rescheduled, so we could give Pilsen enough time to be competitive against Sheriff Tiraspol as they were going for the Champions League group stage. A tournament which I'm sure we can all agree that Victoria Pilsen are now ill-equipped for.
Yeah. It was the worst group in the world. But
I mean, a group for the fans, basically. So if you went to see, it's at Barcelona, Bayern Munich and Inter Milan. Yeah.
Woof.
Then you go in there and it's not really surprising that they've scored 3, conceded 20, which is still not as bad as Rangers.
I just wanted to marinate, bask in that.
This is good. Rangers, who of course have a chance to be the least successful team in the group stages in the history of the competition. So I will
hook it to your veins, eh?
Oh, absolutely. So I mean, we are all Ajax. Shout out to Mark. Anyway, they've been dynamite in the league. Pilsen, so they've got 0 losses. Do you know how many games they've drawn?
How many games they've drawn?
Yeah.
No.
2.
Right.
Nothing in it.
Yeah.
So
haven't lost, I guess.
Yeah, haven't lost. Haven't lost. So I mean, because during the start of the season, they struggled to get a point at Teplice of all teams, and then they really narrowly beat both Pardubice and Hradec Králové. And this was...
For the first couple of weeks, we were like, wobbly, and no.
Yeah, and that seemed like just the right time to play them, didn't it? And, I mean, you were quite vocal about that, being sort of convinced that we were going to get at least a point from that match based on the form. It's now looking like an entirely different proposition altogether, really. Though the only thing that maybe gives you some hope is that they have been defeated, of course, just not in the league and not just in Europe, but crack Silesian third-tier outfit Hlučín dumped them out of the cup. And they dumped them out of a cup with, that sort of team, but it was still a team that had people feature at the end, like Thomas Horry and, all these sorts of players. Some of their second string were there, but I mean, some of their second string were still, fantastic. So, So we'll see if we get anything from this. It's an absolute bonus.
Yeah, because it'll come. I don't know whether we will be in Chebe and just go straight to Pilsen from one brewery to the other as a team on the bus.
Just do the tour.
Yeah, exactly. If we get anything out of this, it'll be incredible work. But it's a free hit, I think.
Yeah, they will absolutely not be going. they'll be going all the way back and then all the way over again.
Yeah.
And hopefully we do actually fork out for a hotel this time, because the team is just awful off the bus generally. I mean, what's maybe a more interesting game is, well, I think that the Česká Budějovice away game is more interesting than both, frankly. But we get our first repeater of the season.
We do.
We will be playing
Sigmar Olomouc at home.
Yeah, on Sunday the 13th. So,
come one, come all.
Yeah, and it will be the last game of the season before we pack up, and then we'll see you all at the end of January. You'll still have us, unfortunately. We'll probably do some stuff in between. But, again, very close. We are, at the time of recording, 5th. Sigmar Olomouc are 7th, 2 points behind us. Our victory back in August was hard fought. You might be able to recall better, but I recall us mostly getting battered for the whole game and somehow holding out.
No, that's not entirely true. We were battered for 20 minutes of the second half. The rest of the game was pretty even. Ali coming on was a game changer. It had that that beautiful finish from Reznicek to score the first goal, the little chip from Shevchik and finished off on the turn on the edge of the area by Reznia. It was a beautiful day out and, absolutely brilliant day out. But, hello to the South Moravian riot police. So,
always a pleasure. I just can't believe that defense held out. frankly, so it's one of these ones.
They still believed at that point.
Yeah, I mean they scored less than us, but not by much. Spread across the team, Moimir Hitil leading with 5.
Smart boy.
Yeah. For
good. Sorry,
that got me unawares. In terms of a Zbrojovka point of interest, Tonda Rusek has 2 so far. They're pretty good defensively, I think, is the one thing to note. So they only 4 teams have conceded less goals than them.
Fewer goals.
Shut up. They deservedly beat Slavia Prague at the start of the month. You might recall that game 2-0. And, you know, the one thing is, though, as well, that they had a really bad loss this weekend, actually. So they lost to Teplice. And that has really sort of bookended a really good run of form, which actually, which included that that Pilsen game. Slavia game. Mm-hmm. This is where they played like a 3-5-2, and they have maintained it ever since because that obviously sort of worked for them. So this is a 5-game undefeated run, which they were on. That run actually started after just narrowly losing 3-2 to Victoria Pilsen as well. Mm. So they've actually picked up like a majority of their points really in the last month and a half. So they are coming into form. They're coming into being more of a Sigma Olomouc team than we would expect to see, which is kind of hard to break down. Doesn't necessarily score so much, but doesn't really concede either.
It's that 5-man midfield that gives me the yips. Particularly at home, if they're going to sit deep and just do the 5-man midfield thing, I think we might have trouble with them. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. So,
just thinking about all the games, where do you think our chances lie?
Chebe away, and I would say we give the Pilsen 1 up for lost if we can get a point against Sigma. If we can get 4 points from these 3, I'd be well happy with that.
Sounds about right. Care much about the cup at this point?
Yeah, sort of. You know, I'd like to have a decent cup run. Mm-hmm. Teplice seems a fairly decent hit, but it's a long way away and it's away. So, yeah, tricky. You know, we know we don't travel well, particularly that far away.
We struggle against Teplice as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Anyway, before we go, a quick shout-out to Portland generally and the Thorns. I went to see Portland play San Diego Wave in the semi-final of the women's MSL Cup playoff thing that they do. That was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Portland 1-2-1. And I put loads of Zbrojovka stickers all over Providence Park. People didn't seem to mind. Everyone was very nice. Good ultra section. Lots of flag waving and so forth. Yeah, jolly nice.
Good atmosphere.
Indeed.
You were telling me they had a terrible chant.
Terrible chants. I wasn't going to do these because I didn't want to slag off US soccer again.
Oh, I see. Do you want me to just slag off US soccer and make you feel better?
Oh. Yeah, terrible chants, but if you'd like to slag off US soccer, then...
I mean, no, I wouldn't maybe say so. Like, the standard of the game in the US has... skyrocketed. Well, I say skyrocketed. The men's game has sort of skyrocketed. The women's game has always really been there, I think, and it's very successful. And we were talking about this before, just hearing about your trip, and you were saying that the amount of crowd that goes to see the women's team as compared with like the men's team, like the Timbers, is actually about the same.
I discovered actually that both the Timbers, ever since they started playing at Providence Park, they've sold out every single game since I think 2007.
Wow.
I think, which is amazing. And the Thorns are basically up there too. They hold the record for the largest ever crowd at a like at a non-final, basically. Wow. for the women's. So yeah, Portland, massive fans of the soccer ball up there. Yeah, it was brilliant. Loved it. Really, really good fun. So
yeah. Maybe one to tick off a list next time. Any of you listeners are the other side of the pond.
Yes, exactly. It was thoroughly enjoyable. Anyway, as was this. Thank you very much, Sam.
Yeah, that's us. That's us for another fortnight, I think. Enjoy your football, David, because you'll be going away to Budjovica.
Yep, and I'll see you. Well, after the times very soon, I assume. In the pub and so forth. So that'll be us. At Sporovcast on all the socials, if you give us a follow, that'd be very nice. And for this week or this episode, I think that's about it.
Bye. Má dáv vzácný vzdor a zpívá s mocí tajenou, když kývá temnou lucernou v očích sů. Konec dětských snů, co se ztrácí. Co se ztrácí.